Hello, nice to see you again. Hello.
Yeah, I guess I'm here.
Oh.
Hey, I'm cold.
I'm is your mom and father?
Yeah.
I'm not cold.
Hey, Wang Qiliang. They recognize you. I come to your shop next week. Welcome back, Margaret. Margaret flew back from Bangkok just attend the talk. Quite good, on international traveler. Nice to see you. Where'd you get that fabulous shirt from? I'm gonna get one. Where? Can you tell everybody where you got that wonderful shirt from? Oh! Advertisement. You better make that on.
Oh,
are you from Hong Kong too?
You're from Malaysia. You're from Hong Kong. Welcome. How many days are you here?
2 weeks.
Are you also same one? She's a lady of the night. Hello, who are you?
My friend too.
Nice to meet you, nice to meet you. No more working, huh?
No.
You got out in time.
Yes, I did.
I've been telling her to stay background that she would listen to me. See? Hello, 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 nice to see you. There's Rob Stewart. Welcome back from London. Did you have a nice trip? Where's your mask? Just kidding.
Hello, hello, hello.
Henry Angel, hello.
Hi.
Long time to see you. Are you well? Good? Very good. Good frustration.
Hey, Joanne.
Hi.
How was Bangkok? I heard you were laying out the sun at Phuket.
Forced to come back.
Okay, so
hey, Janet. Nice to see you.
Any more tattoos or holes anywhere? Janet's previous life was in Africa, where she had a lot of tattoos. And also, she likes to put holes in her face, you know? So this life, the imprints came.
Hey, Miss Kim.
Hi.
Nice to see you. That's a sexy tight blouse.
Oh my god.
We're in a prayer temple place. Not in a nightclub, you know.
All
the men have been looking at you.
Today, believe it or not, I was on time. Everybody was late. Usually, I'm late. So,
have a seat, everyone. Have a seat. Hey, nice to see you. Nice to see you. Welcome. You are. Oh, is it? You got your visa on?
Yes.
I got to sleep at midnight. Nice to see you. Good, good, good. Sanji. Sanji. You're going to have a seat. You finished that one first, didn't you? Yeah. Maybe you can order. Then buy.
지지 않았으면 좋겠습니다.
No filming and recording afterwards. We do filming and recording first. Meanwhile, I'll do some rituals now. Please pass this down.
That's not very nice. As soon as your brother when they come and then escort them on. Like that off. I'm glad I'm not your mother and father. Leave me in the car, SMS to somebody come pick me up. Your poor thing. Never mind, we didn't see that. Miko's a good daughter. People got quiet until my brother come back and ask mom. Which I think they show up tomorrow, how? I'm dedicated. May I never be reborn as Leo's mother. Just kidding, mom. And she's an airline hostess some morning. Our neighbor, why don't you sit on the chair there? There's an extra chair, you'd be more comfortable.
It's okay.
It's not the victim chair, the victim chair is this side. The victim chair switched over to the second chair from the right, my way, right, from the door.
Oh!
You sit there more comfortable. Come. Yes, you'd be more comfortable.
Watch out for it. You
should. Watch out.
You can put it.
You sit on the chair, you're a big man. You'll be comfortable, your knee won't hurt, and some more. The lady next to you is sitting there like this. Because you're so big. Come sit on the chair, no problem. Come. The people around you, yeah, no problem. Yeah, sitting on your leg, no move. It's okay, leave it, no big deal. Leave like that. Better, huh? Not Janet. Anybody else? Better, young. Anybody inside? No, huh? Only ED. Good. Oh, I thought it was a happy face inside. That's not happy face. Okay. I want to thank. Okay. It's recording, right? It does record. It won't be a happy day. Nice guy, you went to Phuket? No. I want to thank Geraldine and Millie and Patsy and Chia for two nights very late. They stayed up with me doing research and looking different sadhanas and books to compile all this together. And then Geraldine and Millie Lim from Penang. Where's Millie? Oh, there she is, the lady and the wife. Type all this up and read that so that we can have it in time for today. I want to thank you very much. It's very, very kind of you to do all this for all of us. And then I want to thank Fatma. Fatma has sponsored the whole Xeroxing of this for all of you. So the whole thing was sponsored by Fatma, and he's done prayers and dedications so everybody can have this today. So everything worked out very, very nice. And let me see. Now, these are some practices that I've come across. The thing is this, I am not a very, very qualified person. I am not a very qualified teacher. And I'm not a teacher with an ocean of knowledge. But I have a little bit of knowledge that I've learned from my teachers. And the little bit of knowledge that I have, I can always share with my Dharma friends like all of you. So in no way should you think that I'm extremely knowledgeable. Or in any way should you think that I'm very attained or I'm a very highly realized being, because I'm none of those. But I do have some knowledge that I've learned from my very realized gurus, very realized masters who passed on. So I have the courage to sit on the throne above all of you to teach you something. And the word is teach in brackets, you know, in inverted commas. Not that I am qualified, but the knowledge I received is from some of the greatest living masters of this century from Tibet before Tibet was completely lost. So I dare sit on a higher throne than all of you and pretend to be some kind of teacher and to teach you something, but none of this that I'm going to share with you is made up for me. I don't have that kind of knowledge. So this is knowledge that's been passed to me by my very qualified and very advanced masters. So I dare sit here and speak this information to you because it comes from a source that is very, very good. If I don't know how to purify water and I give you bottled water, but I know that my friend knows how, or he got it from a very clean and clear stream in the Himalayan mountains and he brings it back and it's full of minerals and it's very good for you, I dare advertise it to you and say it's good, take it. Not because I purify the water or I know that the water is good or I know how to microscopically examine it, it's because I know where it comes from and the source is good. Like that, the source of these teachings and these information that I'll pass to all of you, my friends, tonight, comes from very, very great holy masters who are renowned in their morality, who are unexcelled in their practice, and through their meditations and prayers and their lifelong devotion, they have become very realized beings. And some of the beings that I have taken teachings from to compile all of this is from His Holiness, the first Dalai Lama's writings, His Holiness, the great Pabongka Dechen Ningpo, and His Eminence, the great Kajit Sobo Rinpoche. So I've compiled the writings from these three great masters together for all of you. That'll be more convenient for all of you. And so none of it is made up by me, or none of it is composed by me, but it is compiled by me. There's a difference. Compile and compose is different. If I compose something for all of you to meditate and pray, you might go... But if I compile something composed by great masters, Buddha or great masters, if you do it, you get higher, more peace, more happy. So if Tenrimji compose, you meditate, you go crazy, you end up like me. If you follow what I compile, can become enlightened. All right, there's a difference. So remember that. I'm giving you, as a Dharma teacher, I'm giving you the source of where this comes from. We cannot just sit on the throne and say, oh, these are great, this teaching is good, I had a vision, Buddha came to me, Dada came to me in a dream, Dada said this to me, that. How do you know that? How can you verify that? Why would you want to waste your time meditating on something you don't know the lineage or where it comes for the next 5-10 years and get no result? You go, it's very bad to trick people. You trick their money, you trick them something like their possession is bad. But if you trick their spirituality, if you trick them of their spirit and time, the karma is very, very heavy. So I'm very afraid of karma because I've made enough bad karma in my life, previous lives, and I've got enough result of bad karma in this life, and I'm still suffering my bad karma. So I don't need more. So I dare not compose anything. I dare compile. So know the difference. As a Dharma teacher, you must give the source of where your teachings come from. This is not a cult. I know I look like a cult leader, but this is not a cult. Okay? And cults, the leaders make up something and tell you what to do and tell you they're Buddhas or they're enlightened or they saw Jesus or whatever, you know? I'm telling you, I didn't see anybody. Nobody. I close my eyes, I go to sleep, I took a Xanax, I don't see anything. Okay? Nothing at all. So, if something did come, I didn't see it. Then, next, I received the Black Garuda initiation from His Holiness, I'm sorry, from His Eminence, Demalocha Rinpoche in Drebung Monastery. And I received the White Tower teaching from His Holiness, Khyachisong Rinpoche. So the two teachings I'm going to give you on the two deities, the source is His Holiness Khyachisong Rinpoche, and the other Black Garuda, I received the initiation from His Holiness, Demalocha Rinpoche. And then so the source of where I'm giving you this teaching, I have related to you. And then the compilation of reading. So by traditional way, I'm able to now proceed with the actual Dharma talk because I let you know where the sources come from. Alright? So all you need to know is the clown Tenrimji didn't make this up. Okay? If the clown made it up and you do it, you become clown. Okay? And I have some people that are very near me that have been following what I say and I've incriminated myself. Well, I have one friend from Malacca who's been doing what I said, and she's starting to look like me more and more. But I won't tell you who it is, but I'll give you a hint. She's sitting next to the door with my scarf. She's very kind. She's my good friend. Her name is Adeline. And I've known her since 1992, many, many years. And she's wonderful. I'm going to share some things
about her. She met me many, many years ago and came and asked me all kinds of intelligent questions. And I was very skinny and young and a little Dharma virgin at that time. I just showed up from Malaysia, being known as King, and just a little nice, innocent, skinny, young, virgin Dharma teacher. So I showed up in Malacca giving Dharma talks, and in Malacca, no such thing as air conditioning. So it was very hot, and then you give 2-3 hour Dharma talks, and then you have people in the back raising their hands asking very intelligent questions. Anyways, after about 5,000 intelligent questions from this person, and then I left back to India. When I went back to India, this intelligent person followed me there and asked me more questions. She stayed in my house. I was very happy for about 10 days or a week. I can't remember. I don't want to remember. Anyways, there was a lot more intelligent questions. Yes. So we ate and answered intelligent questions. And I gave this person some practices to do. And with her permission, I want to share with you what she's been doing since I met her. Since January 1996 up till now, she has been doing Lama Tsongkhapa's mantra. And Lama Tsongkhapa's mantra is Mitme Tsewe Dechen Chen Ezi, Dreme Kempe Ompo Jambayang, Dupo Ma Yi Jomzi Samanda, Kanchin Kempe Tujin Tsongkhapa, Losan Trapi Shabla Sawanda. That's the mantra, and then after that you do one. Mitme Tsewe Dechen Chen Ezi, Dreme Kempe Ompo Jambayang, Dupo Ma Yi Jomzi Samanda, Kanchin Kempe Tujin Tsongkhapa, Losan Trapi Shabla Sawanda. Two. So that one round is 108. So Adeline is a very busy lady. And she, when her mother was alive, she was very, very devoted to her mother, and she served her very, very well. And very, very well she served her mother. So she served her mother, who was very sickly at that time. Unfortunately, she passed away, and she had to do a full-time job, 6 days a week. But in between, she would do her Dharma practice. And since the time I told her to start this practice, this retreat, 1996 till now, she has finished 544,000 Jetsongkhapa mantras. Just think, with a full-time job, taking care of her mother, but when she come home and she's free, she do the Tsongkhapa mantra. And she has finished 544,000 so far. She has another 10 billion to go, but never mind. Then there's another mantra I have asked her to do. It's a protection mantra. At the same time up till now, since January 1996 up till now, along with Tsongkhapa's 544,000, she has finished 2 million of the protection mantras. So she will do a little bit of Tsongkhapa after she do her protection mantra. She's finished 2 million up to today. Then along with that, she has a lot of physical sicknesses. We all have sicknesses, but she has a little more. And if you ever travel with her, she has 2 suitcases. One is medication, one is drugs. And she's wonderful because she takes a pill for everything. I learned from her. You're not happy, take a pill. Can you sleep, take a pill. Can you come out, take a pill. Your hair can't grow, take a pill. That's why I got such nice hair. So she has a lot of pills and medication. And you know, if you ever need medicine, you run to her. And wonderful, since 1996 up till now, I think she does a little bit of prostration every day. A prostration is a full kowtow, you know? Let me show you. A prostration is a full kowtow to the Buddha. Yeah, you're gonna have to move it. So let's say that's the Buddha in front. When you kowtow, you recite the refuge, Namo Gurube, Namo Buddhaya, Namo Dhamma, Namo Sanghaya. You bring it to your forehead, your crown, your throat, and your heart. And you think about the Buddha's body, speech, and mind qualities. And you go down completely, 100%, like this, on the ground. And you prostrate, and you come back up as soon as possible. It is said by doing prostrations like that continuously to the Buddha and showing this type of respect. There's a much more greater teaching on that, but I'll just give you short. It is said to purify many, many, many karmas of your body. Many, many negative karmas related to the body. So, imagine doing that, you know, like doing 3 a day. Even 3 a day, we don't have time. So since 1996, Miss Adeline's been doing a little bit every day with her job, and up till today, she has finished 72,000 prostrations. So imagine that. 544,000 Tsongkhapa mantras, 2 million protection mantras, and 72,000 prostrations. She's done that every single day, a little bit, a little bit, a little bit, after her work. She's never ever called me once and complained she doesn't want to do it. She cannot do it. She doesn't have time to do it. She's lazy to do it.
will make up some silly excuse. She has continuously done it over and over and over. When I receive this kind of news and information, this is what makes me want to teach Dharma. This is what makes me want to speak about Dharma to people. This is what inspires me to share information with people. When you share information with people, and people show you results, and they get something good for them, it inspires you to teach more. I am not a highly realized teacher where whether you do it or not, I have compassion. I'm not compassionate. If you do it, I like you. If you don't do it, see you later. You want compassion? Meet the Dalai Lama. You want a clown? That's me. So she has done this, and she has made this kind of offering to me. And I'm very, very honored to have Miss Adeline as my friend. Some more, when I told her, she complained a little bit because last minute about the teaching, but too bad. She drove here from Malacca to attend the teachings, and she does this kind of practice, no complaints. You read Dharma books? Sometimes not. Sometimes she reads Dharma books. How wonderful. And you look at her, she looks like some floozy from Jala Alor. Some good young girl from Jala Alor walking downtown with Mary. But she doesn't get as much business as Mary. Never mind, you don't know who Mary is. Mary's about 100 years old and she's sitting in the back. Not as much money as Mary, but still can do luck. One time I was driving by, I saw them in a cat fight. But never mind, they're all okay. But inside, I'm a Dharma practitioner. And I'm impressed with things like that. I want to share this with you, not to show off. She didn't tell me to tell you this. I'm sharing this with you because to inspire you. To let you know that she's a normal person like the rest of us. To let you know that she's a working, busy, modern, educated person like all of you. Yet she can squeeze in time to do the Dharma practice. She has even put me to shame. I have not done this much in the last 10 years. In the last 20 years, and that's the truth, I have not even done this much. I confess. So it's wonderful. I'm telling you this so you can rejoice and to inspire you and to let you know that people do practice Dharma quietly and secretly, and they do show transformation. Okay? That's very, very good. Thank you for letting me know this information, Evan. Very, very good. What's this? Maybe it's money. Just a letter. I thought it was a big, big fat check for me. Oh, it's a bill. My credit card bill. How depressing. Okay. Don't you hate it when your credit card bills go up to 5 digits? Okay. So, Dada's teachings, the ones I received, there are many, many different types of Dharma. Many, many types. 21 specific forms of Dharma. When you condense those 21 forms, it becomes one form, the green form. When you condense that, again, she is just living, powerful, female, enlightened energy. Whether she takes on form or she has no form, there is no difference. She is enlightened female energy. Then you may think to yourself, well, what happened to male energy? Male energy and female energy has no difference. Male and female energy are exactly the same. They just take on different aspects. It's like the same point with two faces. But in this case, Buddha has chosen to manifest as female energy. All right? Why? He has manifested as female energy is because in this manifestation form, in this form of white Dada or Dada, she's especially invoked upon. She's especially propitiated, invoked upon, and prayed to give you healing, to give you wisdom, knowledge, to give you purification, to give you protection. So she chooses a female form. Why? These qualities or these actions are more related to a mother. A mother protects us. A mother loves us and has a lot of compassion and cares for us.
When we're sick, it's usually the mother that tends to our illnesses. The mother physically suffers much more for our child. Physically suffers much, much more. Never mind mentally. Mentally is a given. So in that way, in our world system, female energy is seen as giving, caring, loving. And in order to do this, she must have a lot of wisdom and knowledge. So female energy in Buddhism is very much respected and very much, looked for, sought after, because it is an energy that is giving, loving, soft, healing, wisdom, and knowledge. And in Tibetan Buddhism, Tibetan form of Buddhism, when you get into the higher teachings, one of the vows is you can never ever say or put women down. If you slander women, if you say negative things about women, or if you put women down, if you do any of the meditations, you cannot gain attainments. Why? Half of you is female. Half of you is from a female, is female, is female energy. So if you keep chopping your own arm off, how are you going to grab something? It's equivalent to that. It's not like a Buddha punishes you because you broke a vow and you said something bad about women, so he punished you. No. It's a karmic effect. So Tara has manifested in a female form to heal, to protect, to give you wisdom, to help you to grow. And particularly in this white Tara form. White Tara is very, very, very special because white Tara obviously is white in color. If we can go to page 3 says Tara's body significance. Tara's body significance is much more than what I've written here. But I just wrote something short and easy for all of you. With the right hand, she performs the mudra of giving. Mudra literally means hand gesture, signifying that she bestows ordinary accomplishments, supernormal powers, and sublime accomplishments, realization of the nature of the mind. So her right hand is in the giving mudra. Her left hand accomplishes the refuge mudra, thumb and ring finger, and are conjoined to symbolize the union of skillful means of knowledge. Her other fingers are held up to represent the three jewels, the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. So her left hand is in the mudra of giving refuge in front of her heart like this. And then the three remaining fingers that stay up represent the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha, the triple jewel. So what it represents is, if you take refuge in Tara, if you take faith in Tara, for some of you are frowning at me saying, what does she look like? Here's a picture. Okay, page 6, there's a picture. There's a painting of her over there, white Tara, on the wall behind Miss Kim. Right behind you, that's a color picture of Tara. Okay. So, the stem of the lotuses she holds with her hand indicates that all the qualities of realization have fully bloomed within her. So in her left hand, she's holding a stem of a lotus that opens up at the right side. I'm sorry, the left side. The opening of the lotus, the blooming of the lotus is representative, symbolic of within Tara, within her, she has realized everything from step 1 to step 10 of Buddhahood. In fact, she's a fully enlightened Buddha. Fully enlightened. So when you pray to Tara, you are not praying to a god. You are not praying to some beautiful lady. You are not praying to some wealth-giving deity. You are praying to a Buddha, a fully enlightened Buddha whose qualities and attainments are exactly the same as any other Buddha, such as Shakyamuni or Amitabha or Chittigarbha or Kuan Yin. Same. No difference at all, a fully enlightened Buddha. Then her charm and beauty reveals that she is the mother of all the Buddhas, and her compassion for all beings is uninterrupted.
Her beauty and her body is that of a form of a 16-year-old young maiden, a young girl. White, very voluptuous, very beautiful, naked on top and covered on the bottom with a sash. Her having this beautiful body is representative of all the most wonderful things that are pleasant in the world, are pleasant to us, she has fully achieved. She has fully realized. Alright? The ornaments and silk she bears, the ornaments and silk and jewels she bears witness of her fully mastered qualities and activities. She has all the activities and all the qualities of the Buddha. Example, the six paramitas. So she wears ornaments on her, not because she's greedy and she went to Star Hill or Hong Kong and bought a lot of jewelry because she has a lot of money because she got a big angpao. She has these ornaments, not their physical ornaments. They are ornaments that are emanated from her realizations. So her compassion, her effort, her contemplation, her wisdom, her ability to know other people's minds, these are intangible attainments. So to show some type of representation that she has these intangible attainments, tangibly to show you, it comes in the form of ornaments. So the ornaments on the holy Dada's body is a symbol of her realized attainments that she has. They're not actual jewels. Okay? So on Buddha statues, such as the one here on the altar, on Buddha statues and paintings of Buddhas, in the Buddhist tradition, what they usually do is they put gold or jewelry pearls or precious items on the ornaments. Why? Not to make the statue beautiful so it looks pleasant to you. You are putting ornaments on the realizations that they represent. So when you put ornaments or precious jewels or precious items on the ornaments of these deities, it is representative of you respecting those attainments, and it plants the karmic seed for you to actually achieve those attainments. So people who realize that, they're very excited to offer a lot of jewelry, offer a lot of gold, a lot of silver, whatever, onto the deities. Not to beautify them or to ornament them, but to make offerings to the realizations that they symbolize. And to plant seeds for the realizations for yourself to achieve in the future. That's very important to note. So that's why you see a Buddhist deities have a lot of jewelry, a lot of ornaments on them. Why? They are offered by patrons who wish to achieve the states and the attainments that Dada has in her. Okay. Her straight back that shows her meditation is similar to diamond that never falters. Her back is straight and her back is firm and strong. It represents that through meditation, effort, we call tundru, one of the six paramitas. How to say in Chinese, six paramitas? Okay, in the six paramitas, one of them is effort. It's not when you're in the mood, not when everything is right, not when you have money, not when you are healthy, but no matter what the circumstances are, you pursue Dharma practice. You pursue your goal. A person who says, I will become an enlightened being, a person who says, I will become a fully enlightened being, and I will do this practice to become enlightened. No matter how sick they are, they will still get up and do their practice, or lay down doing it. I've seen my masters do it. No matter how poverty-stricken they are, they will still do their practice. No matter what problems are surrounding them, they will still do their practice. They will still do their meditations and chanting and practice. No matter how stressed out they are, or how many difficulties they have, they will still focus on their practice. Why? That is called the perfection of effort. From that kind of effort, when you apply, each time a physical or mental obstacle arises in your life, and you continue to do your practice, a few things are happening. One, you're purifying the karma. The things that's happening to you, you're purifying the karma. Two, you're building your mental strength through any adversity. You will be able to see through it. If a small little thing, you cannot tahan. You cannot take it. Small little problem, you get thrown off. Small little difficulty, you cannot. It reflects your state of mind and what type of determination you have. In order to become an enlightened being, to be a benefit to others, in order to become a Buddha, or in order to be, even be successful in this life on a worldly, mundane basis, you need to have effort. Without continuous effort through adversity, you cannot achieve your normal and supernormal goals. You cannot. So effort is very, very much focused on and concentrated on in Dharma practice. No effort, no result. How much effort you put in will be the result you get. It may not be the same as the next person's because karma is different, but you will definitely get result. So small thing cannot tahan, small thing cannot take it. Small thing you cannot, you're too sick, you're too tired, you're too frustrated, you're too angry, you're too poor, you don't have enough clothes, you don't have enough friends, you don't have enough this. Always complain and complain and complain you don't have enough as an excuse to do your practice to build up your mind. Yes, you genuinely have those problems. Yes, you genuinely have those difficulties. Yes, your difficulties and your problems are genuine. They are real. But they will pass. But if you give up during those problems or you let your defenses down during those problems, you don't allow your precious mind to build that type of determination. You don't let your mind to build that kind of stamina. You do not let your mind to evolve and become better and stronger. So when you do these practices, you collect the merit for your mind to evolve into something very strong. Simultaneously, on a mental level, you become stronger and stronger and stronger. You can take on more and more and more difficulties. You can take on more and more and more problems. You can take on more and more tolerance. How to take on more? You have to build it within your mind. If you don't have the circumstance outside to push you toward this type of tolerance, you cannot build. So in Buddhism, when you have problems and you have difficulties, actually, you should be happy. When you have problems and difficulties, if you're not happy, it's a clear sign you are not spiritually advanced. And on a normal level, your mind is not matured and strong. If you have problems, I'm not saying you invite problems. They will come. But this is the way to overcome them. This is the Buddhist view on attacking problems. So, when we propitiate something very holy and something very great, like Buddha Tara, Buddha Shakyamuni, Buddha Tsongkhapa, Buddha Amitabha, or whatever Buddha we particularly like, when we propitiate, when we do the correct meditations, and we get the correct teachings, correct motivations, when we do it correctly, we do it well, we collect a reserve of karmic merits that whatever positive things we want to do, it will be achieved more easily. Things are not achieved not because we did not put effort or not put effort. It is due to karmic store of merits. Karmic store of merits. So one of the greatest ways of collecting merit is the propitiation of an enlightened being who have all those qualities. So when you propitiate these enlightened beings, you gain their qualities. In America, they say you are what you eat. In Tibet, I say you are what you pray to. So if you pray to something malicious, eventually you become malicious. If you pray to something very kind and compassionate, you slowly become kind and compassionate. Although don't take me as an example. I'm not very kind and compassionate, but I'm praying, I'm working on it. So, I will get to the actual practice. I will teach you, or share with you rather, three practices that will be very significant for all of us at this time. These practices were not made specifically or SARS. These practices were developed and taught and manifested by Lord Buddha, specifically for us to alleviate our outer problems such as disease and negative energy and ill fortune. And once that's relieved, we can get to the crux of the matter, which is to do actual spiritual practice to become a fully enlightened Buddha. So these practices are not specifically for SARS, but they are specific for the protection and healing of diseases, plagues, and contagions. And the two practices that I will share with you is very, very powerful for aiding you in healing if you have it, or protection of diseases that are actually life-threatening. This is a very big claim, but it's not something I developed, so I dare can say Buddha has developed. And I've witnessed many cases before with my masters of people who are physically very beyond repair, beyond hope, who do these practices, who can recover, not fully, but not die. I've seen it. So if we take refuge in the Buddha, we take faith in the Buddha, and we do the practices well, there is no reason you will not get the results. Why? It is a democratic practice. It is not, I sit on the pulpit and tell you, I am your deliverer, and you will stay down forever. And only through me, you will be saved. No. It is a democratic way of philosophy, which is, I share with you what Lord Buddha has attained, to become the same as Lord Buddha, free from suffering. Free from suffering. So any practices we get, we want to get our, anytime when we go shopping, some people I know always wants to get their value for money. Value for money is very important to some of my friends. It's good because they work very hard. Now, I like to get value for my mantras. So whatever mantras I do, I want to get the best value. From morning to night, whatever little bit of Dharma practice that I do, and trust me, those who are close to me, I do very little Dharma practice. I watch TV, I do my exercise, I eat, and I sleep. That's basically what I do all day. And it's the truth. Most of my people know that. But it's okay, because I'm a Rinpoche chair. Just kidding. Don't report me to His Holiness, please. I'm going to let us in. I've got to practice Dharma just as hard as all of you. Rinpoche or not, it's all just name. So I like to get value for my Dharma day. The morning I get up, well, I get up in the morning. Let's just make it the morning, because you all get up in the morning. From the time you get up in the morning to the time you sleep, wouldn't you like to get your value for your Dharma practice? Wouldn't you like it that if you did one mantra, you did it once, but the merit you get is equivalent to 100,000? Of course. So, Om Mani Padme Hum, 100,000. Om Mani Padme Hum, 200,000. I want to get my value for mantra. So Buddha has taught methods for people of this time, the degenerate time, when lifetime is short, merit is low, distractions are great. During Buddha's time, there was no disco, there was no internet, there was no gym, there was no great body, there was no nothing. There was huts and lights, and people hung out in the huts, and there was nothing to do but meditate and become a Buddha. So during Buddha's time, there was nothing to do but meditate. You don't meditate, you sleep or play with a mosquito. Right? If you're Buddhist, you blow them away. But now it's different. Now we have internet, and I know people who have their computers turned on every waking hour, and they have one finger on it constantly playing with it. I won't give you any hints who it is. Right? And I actually have people who expand their passions and open up an internet cybercafe so that their body can be all over it and they're surrounded by the computer. It's okay if it's samsara. I know people who from morning to night think money, to make money. Where to get money? How to get money to make more money? When I get more money, how do I make more money? Money. Yes. And I know people who, when come Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, they go to a disco temple. I don't know. They go there to pray. And they go there to pray on the podium. I used to pray. I confess, okay, I got caught.
Yes, and there are people who are totally into their body, although I'm not at all. There are people totally, bye-bye. There are people totally into their body, who only think about their body, so they'll go for this, for that, for this, for the purpose of beautifying their body, and only that. That's it. Alright, there are people like that. And there are just so many, there are places, we have cars now. During Buddha's time, you want to go from point A to B, you get on a horse, if you're lucky, or you get on a horse car, or you walk. Now we can get into our nice new Toyotas and drive there. Our little car shows and drive there, no problem. We don't want to be driven there, we call up a friend. We don't want to, we call a taxi, if they are moving to pick you up. Right? So there, we can go places. We can go dye our hair. We can turn on the lights at night. We can search the internet for a lover. We can do all types of things. It's so exciting. And what does Buddha mean? That there's more and more and more distractions. So for us to go home, turn on the lights, and think, I'm going to go meditate. Well, we can watch TV, Astro, what I do. Right? We can go and watch Astro. We can go in the kitchen and cook up a whole bunch of things with your microwave, because in Buddha's time, you have to go get the wood, you have to get the pot, you have to light it, go in there. That's why everybody's skinny. Nobody wants to cook. Now you just stick it in a microwave. You got a refrigerator. Everything's so convenient. So you can go cook something, eat, and you know, and make love to your food like some people have. You can watch TV. You can call up your friends. You can get on your pet cell phone, unless you live in Bandar Utama, 012 does not work. You can get on the internet and stay there for 5-6 hours before you go to sleep. Unless you're in Bandar Utama, because the internet connection does not work. Alright? You can do a lot of things. Or you can go out with friends and play snooker and bansar. You can drive around. There's a lot of things to do. So, all that, or... meditate. And Rinpoche says, chanting. And then most of us, when we're chanting, you know how we chant, it's my favorite joke. The way we chant. There's no meditation, no focus, no nothing. You just tell Buddha, I want money, long life, health, and bring me a lover. That's what we do. Think about it. Nobody really meditates and thinks about their chanting. And some more, when we're chanting, we feel very tired, sleepy, we're stressed out. Yeah, we feel like that. But if it's to go out, can do it all night. No problem. Meet our friends and hang out at the coffee shop. No problem. Until the coffee runs out, until they turn out the lights, you're still sitting there in the dark. Right? You don't want to go home. No, we can. You see, it's what it is. It's your mind and my mind tricking us and telling us, this will bring us happiness and pleasure. This won't. So it's an uphill struggle. It's like when we want to do Dharma practice now in the 21st century, it's like throwing us in a very big river and saying, what upstream? It's like that, it's that hard. Like during Buddha's time, you want to do Dharma practice, it's like going in a small river, walking upstream with a canoe and a rope. Now no canoe, they just throw you in there, no life jacket, nothing. Just swim up. It's that hard to do Dharma practice, Buddha knows. That's why Buddha, through time, has developed and he has put teachings away for the future. Saying at this time period, this teaching will be beneficial. At this time period, this meditation will be beneficial. At this time period, this will be more beneficial. This will be more beneficial. Later, maybe white dollar practice become obsolete. Maybe purple dollar appear. Yeah, because it benefits. Why? How did white dollar appear? How did green dollar appear? How did they all appear? There's a lot of stories. I'll just tell you one real quick. White dollar is an emanation of green dollar. Green dollar is an emanation of actually Lord Buddha himself. Now what happens is this. Before white dada practice was all over the world, you know, profound and whatever, people prayed to green dada. So one particular disciple, I forgot the name, prayed very, very hard, one realized master, to be healed of a certain disease. So when he did a certain amount of mantras and prayers, through his sincerity, the green dada from her heart manifested the white dada. Opened up and the white dada appeared to him and taught him the mantra, the meditation, and the prayer in order to heal and overcome the disease. So this particular master did it. He propitiated and meditated and did the form of white dada, and he was successfully healed.
became a very great master, a very great scholar, and benefited many people. So during his lifetime, he had many students. So he, because it was so good for him, he taught this special practice to his students. Then his students taught it to their students, and the lineage of White Tara grew like that. So actually, White Tara is green tongue. There's no difference. It's just like inside you have a green glass, a white glass. You just pour the water differently. But they manifest differently. Why? Example, if you're outside and you need help, if someone shows up with a police uniform, you feel more confident. If they show up in a clown uniform, you think what? Right? So if you're a circus, or no, if you're in a club and the police walks in, you go what? Uh-oh. Drop my ID. But if a clown shows up, you think, oh, fun time. But it's the same person wearing different clothes. Similarly, the Buddhas change their appearance to suit us according to the times. So as times change, Buddhas' forms change, and the symbolism of their forms help that particular situation and that particular dharma. So the Buddhas have many forms, not because Tibetan and Indian masters are bored silly out of their heads, there's nothing to do, and there's no electricity, but sit there in the dark and count their toenails, you know, 1, 3, 4, and clean their toenails. Well, some people like doing that, but never mind. And they did it because these deities actually manifested them. So Buddhism has a lot of deities, not because it's a lot of deities. It's different forms and manifestations of the same Buddha to serve a certain function or help. So if most of you have your personal yidams and have your personal practices that I've already offered to you. Some of you don't. Whatever the case is, this white tara practice and the black garuda practice and the mantra I'm going to share with all of you tonight will be very effective if you do at this time. Some people think, hey my god, do I have to do this every day along with my other prayers for the rest of my life? And I've had somebody voice that out. In the past, when the guru gives a new sadhana, they're like, now when you give a new sadhana, they go, it's a different situation altogether. What I'm trying to say is this. You may take these practices and make them permanent practices for yourselves all the time. Or you can do it for the time being until these plagues finish. Either way, or you can do these practices for very important people to you who you want to protect and help, and you have no other way. You're not a doctor. You're not rich and you can build a quarantine house for your mother and father and husband and wife and children so you can be protected. So the best thing you can do is to propitiate the goddess White Tara or the other one, Black Garuda, in order to send energy and protection to the people you're concerned about.